call to order the March 27, 2018 Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. Good morning, everyone. Everyone's doing well. The first item on our agenda is approval of the February 27, 2018 meeting minutes. That has been distributed to the board. No discussion, I entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Minutes have been properly moved and seconded. Enjoy the vote. The minutes have been approved. Next item on our agenda is in our old business, item from last month. It is 127 Salt Landing Circle, and it's a rear yard setback variance request. Here from Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you will recall and did mention that this item was continued from the February 27th meeting. The petitioner, who is present, is requesting a 7-foot, 7-inch rear yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement. This is the subject property on the tax map highlighted here at 127 Salt Landing Circle. The property is approximately 7,000 square feet in size. It is a conforming lot in the Salt Landing subdivision. The rear of the property abuts the undeveloped portion of a 5-acre residential tract. That you can see better here. And the subject property is located on the red dot. The board, in continuing the item at our last meeting, requested that the petitioner provide some information regarding the extension of the property. So I'm going to share with you now what we have. This first exhibit is a rear elevation showing the addition. You can see that it's proposed to be 13 feet and 8 inches wide. This is the left side showing the addition and then the roof. New roof line, which is proposed to be 18 feet in depth. In our previous review of this petition, staff found that the proposed encroachment was unlikely to cause any detriment to the adjacent property. And had recommended approval of the request. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Lawson?
I guess, just for to make sure I'm thinking about the same property, and I think I am, is staff's assumption, or I should say, that the property next door in all likelihood will be similarly developed in the future?
That was our assumption, and it's funny you should ask that because I actually had a conversation with a local engineer who's been recently hired to do some work on this property for the purpose of marketing it for that exact purpose, to redevelop it as a subdivision.
Would it impact staff's recommendation if there were an identical subdivision to the subject subdivision on that property today with... I can only imagine a house backing right up to this property.
And we've seen many examples of that circumstance. And in the circumstance where an adjacent property owner to the rear is impacted, then yes, that is an issue. However, in this case, being that it's a large single-family tract with no development in that area, any future development, you know, would be coming in with the knowledge of what's adjacent to them.
Okay. And I guess last question, are there other sunrooms or extensions on the rear of homes in this neighborhood?
There are some in within the neighborhood. Let me show you. There were none that we could find that are on, you know, that abut this property, but there were some within the neighborhood.
Okay. Any other questions?
And did those folks request variances?
Not that we're on record. They may not have required variances because the lot sizes are do vary.
It's my concern, which I mentioned last month, was establishing a precedent for this neighborhood and one day for the neighborhood next to it. So I think we'd be wiping out this setback for this area. Mine's not made up. Anyone else?
Is the vegetative buffer on our property or is it on the adjacent properties?
The tree line that we're looking at?
Mm-hmm. Is that on the 5-acre lot next door or is that on the...
Mr. Blackburn, I think what we've got is actually some of both. Most of the trees that you see are part of the 5-acre tract, but there are some smaller trees within the rear yards of the properties on South Atlantic Circle.
And there are no drainage ditches or anything that separates those properties?
No, there is a. There is not.
Bill Hennis, I'm with Seville Communities. We're a custom home builder and remodeler here in Savannah. And most of the area.
Bill, raise your right hand, Mr. Dennis.
Yeah, I will.
Do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
So the tree line that you were asking about actually is right on the property line. So, you know, I have a photograph. By the way, this is the tree buffer. There's a privacy fence. If you look at your site plan, there's a privacy fence that's probably, I believe, about 5 feet inside the property line. And that buffer is pretty much the tree buffer. The property line runs down the center of those trees. So as far as an impact of future development back there, you know, you've got like an 8-foot wood privacy fence on the subject property, and you have that natural tree buffer that, you know, I would think, you know, being a developer myself, be very difficult to clear those trees when the property line runs down the center. So I think the impact, you know, is, you know, very, very small. And again, with the privacy fence and the natural buffer, it's going to reduce any impact to a future development next door. And we are, you know, there are some other extensions out there where people have done just straight shed roofs off the back of some of these homes that probably didn't need a variance per se. But what we're doing there is we're doing a nice, you know, gable roof, you know, with plenty of glass, you know, matching windows, matching siding. So it's going to be, you know, aesthetically pleasing. So that's, any questions for me?
The privacy fence that you're speaking of, is it individual to each home or
yes.
Does it run the length of the property line?
Most of the homeowners on that, that abut to the undeveloped property have their own fences. I do now apologize on this. I do have a photo. So there you can see the buffer, and you can see the property line actually is, I think, 3 to 5 feet behind that fence. The fence actually is not right on the property line. And there's an old wire fence that represents the property line that's in the middle of those trees beyond the wood privacy fence.
This is a view of the subject property?
Yes, this is from, this is standing, actually standing in the sunroom. You can see the end of the concrete patio there on the bottom, which is what we're gonna be extending slightly and underpinning it with a structural footing to build the sunroom on. But that would be your view from the standing in the sunroom looking straight out. And that's, you can see that's the undeveloped property. There's that trailer truck sitting there.
Does it need to be this size?
Well, it could be, I mean, it could be 10 feet. It's just that functionally for the homeowner, you know, something that small is just, you know, with the expense of it would not be suitable for them.
10 by 18 wouldn't be suitable?
It would just be, I just don't think it would be functional to go inside of a 10, you know, 18.
What about 12 by 18?
Well, anything, yeah, anything would work.
It's a lot easier to give a 2 or 3 foot than it is a 7 foot.
I'm sure I could, you know, talk to the customer and see if he would, you know, be willing to do that. Again, I realize it's not 2 feet, it's a little bit more than that, obviously, but the impact, you know, to that adjacent property really is, you know, minor at best, in my opinion.
Now, it is today, but it's not once it's developed. And then for us, we see these all over the county. We've dealt with these situations in the past, and similarly down in Norwood, we've dealt with one, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's the continuity of enforcing the ordinance.
I understand that. I think this particular property, you know, with the property line, you know, being beyond the privacy fence and right in the center of that buffer, again, I feel like, you know, whatever was developed next door, you know, it would be hard to have the addition impacting, you know, how the streets are laid out or the lot sizes, which I'm assuming will be, you know, similar in size to the
Salt Lake. Can we go back to the photograph of the rear of the house, please? My comment about that photograph is it's rather deceptive from the aerial view. There appears to be a heavily wooded area along that line, but looking at it here, it's quite open from the ground. So it's not as obstructive as one would think from the aerial view.
Yeah, I think, you know, this obviously this time of year, there's not as much foliage on the trees as I'm sure that picture that we saw. I would agree.
So, how important is it to your clients to have this sunroom, I'm going to use the word vertically, go toward the next property line versus just being wider?
Well, I think it's very important. I mean, they did, you know, take the expense of having my engineer come and do a site plan and obviously, you know, pay the fee to be standing here today, so.
Do you have any photo of the rear of the home?
I do. I want to point out, too, that there's the buffer looking from the back of the property to the left, so it is a little, you know, a little thicker than that first photo. Again, was a little deceptive. There's the back right there.
All right, that's what I was curious about. So going too far the other way blocks other windows.
Correct.
How wide is that pad there?
It's the 13.8, plus or minus. So we're going right over that pad. Well, we're going to be a little short on the left-hand side because we're going to miss that window. Side there, and again, you can see the buffer is a little more substantial than that first photo.
Any other questions or comments for petitioner? Say, I think Mr. Blackburn is probably on the mark. I think the request is I'm just reading tea leaves here. The request may be a little 7 foot, may be a little much. And, I don't necessarily want to deny you at this point because you can't come back for a year.
How about a 4'7"?
We go round up to 5, it'll save some lumber.
That would make the dimensions, what, if you backed up to 5?
It would be about 13 feet.
Deep.
From, it would reduce the variance by, you know, I guess 2 foot. 7.
But the width of the addition?
The width would stay the same. The length from the house out towards the rear setback would be
13.
Yes.
And is that measuring from the French doors as we're looking? That 13?
No, sir. That's measuring from the actual back. Furthest point of the home. And that's depicted on the site plan.
The current dimensions as proposed are 14 by 18. 14 by 18.
So, I'm looking at the site plan. So we're 7.7 beyond.
Correct. That is correct.
So you're talking about the present word.
4.7 beyond.
Backing up 3.
Backing up 3. I'm coming back to 12 by 18. I'm assuming 18 is the width.
No, sir, that's the width. Yeah, 14 is the width.
So it's going to stay 14.
So 11 foot, it's 11'3" from the furthest most point of the home to the rear setback. And we want to go 18, so it's a 6.7 foot requested at the stands now.
That is 7.7.
Seven is 18, that's correct.
All right.
So you So seven is requested, but 6-7 is needed right now?
Yeah, that must have been a typo.
I would move approval of 4.7, 4 foot 7 inch. Yeah. You back it down by 3 feet.
2 feet. So it would be a, yes. That would, the lumber guy would like that.
Nice length.
Marcus, is there 36.5 feet from the end of the house to the privacy fence? No, it's
yes,
a little more than that.
That's to the property.
Are you talking about this dimension?
Yes.
No, that's to the property line.
And the wooden fence is what,
wooden
5 feet
is
in?
Right here.
Yeah, it appears to be about 5 to 6 feet.
It varies along the fence.
So, the proposed structure goes out to within 15 feet of the fence? From there to the fence?
36 minus 4.7.
Except 36 is from the corner of the house.
Correct.
But you really got 31 feet to the fence. So if we're protruding out, there's so many numbers in there, I'm having a hard time. We're protruding out
4.7
from the rear yard setback.
Correct.
That's the new proposal.
So 16 from 36, you're now 20 feet plus or minus to the property line.
Yeah. And then as I sit back and I'm trying to, yeah, I'm looking at the intent of the rear yard setback as I read it here, and I look at the reasons we can authorize variances, the fifth being the only one that's in favor of fourth, sorry. I have a hard time wondering if we can think of the same thing once there's a house on the other side of that fence, and we're going to be dealing with that at some point, and they're going to say, we'll look at
well, we are, and that's why I'm reluctant to go 7 feet, but 4 feet doesn't go that much. I mean, it extends it a little, but it doesn't let it really take over the backyard.
Any further discussion?
Yeah.
It's been approved.
All right, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Have a nice day.
Have a great day.
Okay, then. Did Mr. Stevens leave?
Oh, no, he's right on it.
Is he over there? Oh, okay. I saw him go out. I didn't see him come back.
I think they drunk it all.
Must be.
We need a recess.
The next item on the agenda is 508 Onward Loop. Petitioner is requesting a 25-foot marsh buffer variance and a 5-foot side yard setback variance. We'll hear from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This might be one of the more interesting, for lack of a better word, marsh buffer variance requests that we've seen in a long time. This property at 508 Onward Loop is developed with a single-family residence. And as you mentioned, the petitioner has requested both setbacks from the marsh buffer and from the side yard. I think the best way to start this is I'll show you a few exhibits of what exists out here today. The petitioner purchased and located on this property a accessory storage building. And this aerial map, you can see the subject property here, and the storage building is approximately in this location. This is a driveway that leads to Onward Loop that accesses the petitioner's property. So the structure that's down there, the accessory building, is 160 square feet in size. Initially, the petitioner purchased it and was told by the seller that it did not require a permit because of the size. The information that the petitioner was quoted was regulations from the city of Savannah, however, which in that case would have been true. But of course, it's in the unincorporated area where the regulations are different. So he was unaware or had misinformation as it relates to his permit. So he was cited by the county to address it, which he did, and he can go into greater detail on that part of this. Subsequently, the county asked him to seek approval from the DNR because of this body of water that abuts his property. And as you all know, in properties that have that are on marsh fronts, they're permitted to have accessory buildings in the front yard under certain circumstances. So the fact that it's located here, which is technically his front yard, is permitted, but it's required to be 10 feet from any property line, no more than 900 square feet in size, et cetera, which it meets those other than this side yard setback here. And I should mention that on this side, the property that it actually abuts is not related to a residential lot, but it's just a small piece of common area. There's another story with this in that body of water that you see there apparently did not exist when the house was built. It was developed by the DNR later, I think 3 years after the house was constructed. The petitioner did contact DNR, and in the letter that you see attached there, the email, they did inform him that this did qualify essentially as waters of the state. Mr. Kirkland visited the property to identify any potential issues, and if you want to comment on that at this time, on
your visit,
that might be appropriate to do that now.
Sure. As Mr. Lawson said, this is one of the more interesting or complicated cases that we've seen. In this case, the lagoon line does represent a state waters boundary between Coastal Marshland Protection Act protected marshland. and the upland area here. So, however, because the disturbance, there was virtually no disturbance for the installation of this particular shed, there it did not trigger a state waters buffer, which would have been measured 25 feet from the jurisdictional determination established by Coastal Resources Division. So no state waters buffer, but there, the county riparian buffer does exist in this case. And I guess that's what we need to decide today. And I'll be glad to answer any questions if I can.
So when this house was built, there was no retention pond?
As I understand it, there was a ditch that ran behind this property back early 1980s when it was constructed, and this pond was developed 3 years after the house was built.
And you said that DNR developed this retention pond?
Based on the email from DNR, that's the indication that I have.
So the DNR can come in and dig a hole and suddenly create marsh where none existed before?
They may have permitted it. Whether they were actually responsible for the development of it, I'd have to read through those emails a little more closely. It could be that the property owner or the homeowners association for some reason requested a permit to do that work. But that's just not this.
Could have been done by the developers of the subdivision to relieve their drainage problems?
That is possible. It seems, though, that that would have likely have been done before the houses were built, but it's probably without them being here, it's impossible to know that.
And is it, in fact, a detention lagoon or a retention? In the literature, it's called detention, which is vastly different than retention.
Right, so I went out late last week, and I mean, first of all, the state claims it as marsh, and that's, you know, that would be lawsuit territory to try and dispute that. But I just wanted to see for myself, because I figured, you know, questions would be asked today. And I did observe tide entering the ditch. Unfortunately, on this drawing, it doesn't show where the, do you have one there? There's a tidal creek that comes up to the road, and there's a culvert under the road that allows tide in and out, which is why Coastal Resources claimed it. And I did observe tide flowing in one of the opposition letters. It was referred to as a dry creek bed, and sure, it's dry at low tide, but not high tide. And it was not a particularly high tide when I observed the flow going into the pond. So to answer your question, it is I guess it's neither. It would retain at low tide and detain at high tide until the tide turns.
So there's a culvert going under.
If you want to figure out a new term for that one.
I pulled this up, so there's a culvert going under Omer Loop.
That's correct.
Across.
It's easy to see
several properties. Over to Betts Creek.
I should have printed a DEM. It's easy to see on a digital elevation model.
I have it pulled up. I'm looking at a different map. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at where it must be going through here.
And I mean, and I observed tidal flow. I didn't just see a culvert pipe. I observed tide entering the.
Everything's interesting.
It is. Yeah. This is.
So that pipe goes across all those other properties back to the creek.
Cutting all the way across here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh.
I
just
wonder what happened there.
During
that. I said that pipe never had a problem. So you can see it. That pipe is right there.
Yeah.
And that detention retention pond, is that big?
It's a fairly sizable structure, and it connects to the tide and Betts Creek right here. It goes, there's a culvert right there.
So the tide backs up through that culvert?
It does. And I can show you a video if you'd like to see it.
That happens on La Roche.
It happens a lot of places
across the saltwater grill. It's not unusual in this area.
You know, we fit, sometimes structures are fitted with a tide gate, although those prove to be kind of tricky for maintenance. And but many, many, many systems on Wilmington Island are surcharged at the high tide.
The existing ditch that was there before, was it tidal influenced as well?
I have no idea. I would guess that it probably was, but I mean that 1987, we don't have good records for that.
Imagery from that year, and it just wasn't conclusive enough to be able to see it. The imagery back then was pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, it was black and white, but there is imagery.
I mean,
400 scale.
That's right.
What you're talking about here is essentially a piece of concrete which is allowing access from salt water into a pond, which now has generated salt marsh. So what if this retention pond were 2 miles away and there were a culvert 2 miles away inland, would that then be considered marsh as well?
If it got tidal influence, it could be. The chances of that happening are slim.
Well, it's a hypothetical, obviously an absurd one, but
just to extend on your idea there,
it's 400 yards from the creek to this.
Well, pond. this is a tidally influenced creek all the way up to here. I mean, this is probably a relatively natural feature. If I had to guess, I would guess that the homeowners thought it was ugly and they decided to make a lagoon instead of having a ditch that was dry twice a day.
Okay.
But I mean, that's supposition on my part. I will say that historically I've seen where structures like this have a tide gate, a functioning tide gate, Coastal Resources Division will not claim jurisdiction upstream of a tide gate.
And there is no tide gate here.
That's correct.
So. And if there were, we wouldn't be here today arguing.
Probably not.
Only for a 5-foot side yard setback.
Creates marshland and impairs a person's value of their property. Were these folks noticed of the possible impact when these permits were issued?
I don't know. I think we can ask the petitioner that who's been involved in this property for, I think, most of the time it's been here. The other thing I'd like to put on the record is that you will see in your agenda there two letters of opposition. We did get a couple of phone calls regarding this petition from people who said they were adjoining property owners. However, they did not sign those letters, so I don't know if, you know, what weight that has or doesn't have, but I just wanted to make sure we had on the record that we did receive those and did attach them to the information you were provided with.
I saw them and saw they were unsigned, and they received zero weight. They're not evidence. Right, any questions, staff? Any more questions, staff?
So what's our choice? Define it here today, real carefully.
I think what we're faced with, because of the determination related to this body of water, the petitioner is required to get a variance in order to maintain his structure legally on the property. And the variances would be to the marsh buffer setback and to the 5-foot side yard, or the required 10-foot side yard setback, because he is abutting what has been determined to be marsh. He's allowed to have his structure in the front yard with those conditions.
Mm-hmm. All right, and you found, and I know the answers to these, but you have found that the shape and topography of this property is unique to the area?
Exactly, yes, sir.
Because it's abutted on two sides by water?
That's also correct.
The conditions of the property are peculiar?
Yes, sir.
Relief is not likely to cause detriment or impair the intent of the ordinance?
That is staff's opinion, yes.
Any other questions?
Based on those, I would move.
I'm not ready for that. Open up for a motion yet? All right, any other questions? Thank you. Is anyone here for the petitioner? Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Come tell us why we should do it.
Well, if so, you need to get the sign in, that's where you are.
It's crazy, yeah.
You know, and I feel so sorry for the guy because he got jobbed by the people that sold him the thing. Mm-hmm. He's got no place to move.
I just had surgery on my hand. This happens to be the one I write with. So this is a left-handed signature. It looks like the kind of person they teach in school today.
It's probably better than mine.
You'll raise your right hand as much as you can. You don't have to.
Yeah.
All right. And please state your name.
James Stevens.
Mr. Stevens, do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Yes, sir. concerning the tidal pond, it rises and falls about a foot with the tide. Evidently, it does get mullet come in there at high tide that can't get out, so that's kind of interesting because they jump all the time. But across the street, across Wall Tower, those are freshwater ponds that hook into that. And I think, although I bought the property in 1999, and this was done in 1987, but I have talked to people in the area, and evidently this was done for flood control. That was a ditch at one time, but every time they got heavy rain, it would run off of Betts Creek across Wall Tower, and then it would flood that area in there. And so that's why they built those. There's ponds across there's fresh water that only come across the road when there's heavy rain and that it's drainage. During Hurricane Emma, a third of my yard flooded. The part that did not flood was right where this little outbuilding is setting. It's the high point of the yard. Because I had originally thought about moving it to try to get it behind the corner of the house, and at the time that was the issue, but I would have had to move it right into where the yard floods, and so it didn't seem like a good option. And then when DNR came out and said that the pond was actually part of a marsh system, even if I moved it, it wouldn't be 25 feet setback because my house is a 25-foot setback. And everything around that pond, there's fences. The neighbor's garage directly across the pond from me, it's probably 10 foot from the pond. Everybody on that particular pond has some kind of an issue with the setback because I don't believe that was ever designated a marsh before they came out and designated it a marsh.
Any questions for the petitioner?
You got any idea who'd send these anonymous letters?
I do, but I don't know for sure. There is a gentleman who lives on the corner that has junk all over his yard that has had an issue with the county for a while, and he doesn't seem to be agreeable to anybody over anything. If I had to guess, I'd say it's probably him, but I don't know that, and I'm not going to pass judgment on the guy.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
How deep is this pond? Just curious.
Actually, I've canoed in this thing, and in the middle, it's probably 6 foot. And the bottom is extremely, I mean, if you try to stand up in that thing, you're going to be deep in mud immediately.
So does anyone believe that? Maintain it?
Not that I know of. I wish they would, because it's encroaching on my property. I mean, every year I lose a little bit more of my property to it. And as you can see by the map that I had, the survey of my property actually goes out into the marsh. And now I'm starting to wonder, because I saw the tax one, am I paying taxes on half the marsh?
You probably are.
Probably are.
Yeah.
A lot of us are.
Are you losing property as a result of erosion? Is that
yes.
What you're saying?
And how far is this accessory structure into the marsh system?
It's about six, at the closest place to the marsh, it's about 16 feet to the marsh, and it's 5 feet off the property line. Because when I purchased the thing, I was misled, and I was told there was a 5-foot setback, so I set it back 5 feet from that side, and now I'm told there's a 10-foot setback. The other side of the forward property line, it's 10.5 feet because there's a concrete little drainage ditch that's on my property. It runs through there that drains my driveway, and I moved on the other side of that, so I you know, obviously it added distance. So I measured it as 10'6" from that. So it's just the one side yard, and like Mr. Lawton said, there's a little strip of land there that I didn't know. I thought it was my property. I thought my property went to the marsh, but then when I saw the survey, I realized there's a 6-foot piece of property there that is no man's land that I guess the homeowners association or somebody owns that I have no idea.
Any other questions for discussion? Anyone here from the public speak on this matter? Hearing none, entertain a motion.
I move approval of petitioner's request and staff recommendation.
I second that.
All right, been moved that we approve pursuant to staff recommendations that were sent and testified to. We'll vote as staff.
Four active members, and because the county hadn't appointed the additional three, so we had, you know, had to have 100% participation every month to have a quorum.
Are we still in the second?
Yes, I think this should be
okay. I'm just making sure.
So we're going to need to handle other business as well. So one, I just want to say I hope everyone has thought about individuals. I've given some thought to it and mentioned it to a couple folks who I thought may be interested in. Do a good job. I hope you'll do the same, and they'll put their name forth, and the commission will make a choice. That also being said, Mr. Overton was our vice chairman, and we need someone to fill that role. The last time we had this vote, I was here when I initially became chairman back in 2014, and Mr. Overton nominated me before I knew what was going to happen. And I quickly nominated him as vice chairman because he nominated me. Is there anyone who wants to be vice chairman? Is there anyone who's willing to step up his position? I am here most of the time, so.
Yeah, I'm willing.
Mr. Blackburn is willing. Is anyone willing to nominate him?
I'd be happy to nominate Mr. Blackburn.
Mr. Blackburn's been nominated.
I'll second.
It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Congratulations. Is there any other business? All right, we're adjourned.